You will hear part of a radio interview with a woman called Holly Ridge, who is writing a book about villages. For questions 1 to 7, choose the best answer, A, B or C.
With me today is Holly Ridge, who's writing a book about village life in the modern age. What's the title of your book, Holly?
If only I knew. I just can't seem to come up with one which will both reflect the content and encourage people to buy the book. My editor suggested 21st Century Village Life, but that didn't sound very inspiring. We'll need to agree on one soon because the publisher is currently putting together its autumn catalogue, well in advance of the publication date.
So what for you is a typical village, Holly?
Well, I'm not sure there is one. People usually imagine a pleasant square or green with a pretty church, picturesque old cottages and a slow pace of life. This is not entirely wrong and does go some way to describing villages, but it doesn't take account of what goes on in each one. What you see are just the stages or film sets, but the stories played out on them are all very different. Each village has its own personality, its own peculiarities, and functions in its own particular way.
But there are certain types of village, aren't there? Commuter villages, for example.
Yes, that's right. People who work in large cities are bound to be attracted to villages which are within reasonable travelling distance. Some locals will tell you that a large influx of commuters has changed the appearance and nature of their village, turning it into a small town. Commuters have different priorities, they say. They don't contribute to the life of the village. This may or may not be true, but more worrying is the fact that their arrival pushes up house prices, which become so expensive that the original inhabitants, young families in particular, have to move away.
And that's also a problem with second home ownership, isn't it?
Well, yes, the buying of houses for use as second homes can have a more devastating effect on some villages. They might be lively, busy places at weekends and in the holidays, but they'll be empty the rest of the time, almost like ghost towns. Only the older residents remain, so there is no longer that mix of generations which is so beneficial for the life of the village. And shops, health centres, libraries and village schools are forced to close.
And are there any ways of preventing this?
I think there are, yes. Let's not forget that villages are places for people to live in, so the important thing is to make people want to come and live in them. And to attract a range of people, you need a range of housing, from the picturesque old cottages I mentioned before to more affordable, modern houses. That might change the look of a place, make it less appealing to the eye, but it will help to keep it alive, so it's a price worth paying.
The Localism Act could help with all of this, couldn't it?
Certainly, yes. The Localism Act makes it possible for ordinary people to bring about improvements in their community. It gives them legal powers to get more homes built, provide better local services, or stop a school closing. It's a lengthy and complex process, but basically, residents draw up a neighbourhood plan of what they want to accomplish and submit it to the local council. The council can either turn it down or approve it, in which case it goes to a referendum for all the residents to vote on. And if at least 50% vote in favour, the plan is activated.
Very interesting. Now, I know you live in a village, Holly. Is it doing well?
Yes, it is. It's in very good health. It's just outside the commuter belt, but we have both a primary and a secondary school and one or two shops and cafes. I enjoy living there. It helps that I've set up a small gardening business, so that puts me in contact with others. And I know most people in the village, at least to say hello to. I'm on friendly terms with everyone.
Sounds ideal.